Opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. It's my co-host, Kara Kittrick. Kara, you got any news for us today?
Former Arizona Governor Fife Symington, who was governor at the time of the Phoenix Lights incident, will be attending the International UFO Congress this year, a ufology conference. While at the time of the incident, he dismissed the idea that the lights over Phoenix could have an extraterrestrial origin, in his later remarks, he has described the lights as otherworldly. The Loch Ness Monster has been sighted for the first time ever in China. A woman there claims to have captured the creature on webcam, swimming out on the water for 6 minutes. And a company called Finance Buzz is looking to pay someone $1,300 in October to watch 13 pre-selected horror movies in an effort to determine whether big-budget horror movies are on average better than smaller productions. The selected movies are Saw, Amityville Horror, A Quiet Place, A Quiet Place 2, Candyman, Insidious, The Blair Witch Project, Sinister, Get Out, The Purge, Halloween, the 2018 one, Paranormal Activity, and Annabelle. Back to you, Chauncey.
All right. Now, the Loch Ness in China.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's going to be people who automatically shove that aside and say, well, the Loch Ness is where it is and blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I mean, they had similar sightings in Lake Champlain. So, you know, I mean, why wouldn't there maybe be... You know, if you're coming from the angle that this is a species of animal, you know, they gotta have some boy, you know, when a boy cryptid meets a girl cryptid.
Oh my God.
You know, so there's gotta be more than one, but I've always liked it and I've always come back to this theory that there's like quartz creating some sort of time tunnel in Loch Ness, and that's where these little Pliocene, Plesiosaur, whatever era coming out of.
So there's just these, you know, very confused dinosaurs that pop in and out of, like, time.
I don't think they're all that confused, you know. They're just looking for fish and lettuce, and I mean, that exists in both time periods.
I guess. Well, though I don't think lettuce existed in its modern form.
No.
I
one of the great mysteries. One of the great mysteries. But I don't know. Do you, what do you think of this?
I'm not a huge believer in the Loch Ness Monster, but I think I'm much more of a believer in the Loch Ness Monster spotted in places that aren't Loch Ness.
Right, honestly. Because of the boy-girl cryptid story.
Well, not even that, but just, like, for one thing, like, the tourism, the economy of the town, or the towns around there,
right,
depend heavily on people continuing to want to come and see this thing. Tourists come for the express purpose of seeing this thing, which means, you know, they're going to misidentify.
Right. The little Nancy Drew in you says that that's motive.
Right, exactly. I think this is all motivated reasoning, and it's, like, we know that the surgeon's photo was a fake, because the guy, like, admitted it, or maybe he didn't admit it, maybe one of his friends was like, no, that guy made hoaxes all the time, I helped him. Anyway, someone involved in the process admitted it, and, like, people say, oh, well, these sightings go back thousands of years. It's like, well, no, they don't. Like, the evidence for that is not good at all. But then when you get sightings that are in other places, like Lake Champlain, well, not necessarily Lake Champlain, but just around the world, they're often much less dubious to me.
Right.
And part of it is, you know, it's very easy to misidentify, like, logs and stuff as a creature that, as the neck and head of, like, a long, noodly creature.
Right.
You know, and
snake guy.
Right. And there have been similar, like the sea serpent sightings of the early 19th century, strikingly similar to Loch Ness monster sightings today. So, I don't know, maybe there is some kind of sea monster out there that we're seeing. Is it the Loch Ness monster? I doubt it, but there's something interesting there, I think.
And then, $1,300 to watch horror movies. Now, I got a quiz for you.
Yeah.
Who has two thumbs and signed up for this already?
You.
This guy.
Oh, my
God. You know, my wife sent it to me, and I'm just all like, yeah, all right, I'll do it, you know.
Haven't you already seen all of those?
You know, I've never actually watched the Saw movies because I'm not really torture, kill kind of. You know, I like the fantasy of it. Right. And, of course, you know, there are definitely some thrillers that went above and beyond their genre. You know, the original Halloween is, there's no denying that. But for the most part, I like my stuff supernatural. But this does all seem to be coming from whoever James Wu, I think that's his name, James Wu's production company is, because Annabelle, Insidious, wasn't The Conjuring on there?
Right.
This seems to all be coming from one production company. Or at least...
Yeah, The Conjuring is not on there, but Amityville Horror and Annabelle are, yeah. And also, so, you got both A Quiet Place and A Quiet Place Part 2, which seems redundant to me.
Do you have to watch them in order? It's like... I don't know. I'm just kidding.
Hey, but, signed up for it. You should know about this better than I
just
do.
Thought... Yeah, but in the sign up, they're just all like, oh, what's your social media presence and stuff? And I'm just all, I don't have one.
I mean,
I don't have one, but,
you
I
run
definitely,
a radio show.
I don't know. I don't have a personal, nobody cares. You know, let's put this radio show thing to rest. I don't think anybody cares.
Well, that's fair. Yeah.
Nor should they.
No.
Yeah. I think it's weird. I don't know. You know, this is going off topic now, but I mean, how much can we talk about
getting rent?
Right. Yeah. You know, I've been talking to my wife about celebrity and royalty and stuff like that. And, you know, I think it's weird. And my big comparison is sports. Because I don't really care about sports. I wish I cared about sports. I'd be less fat, but I don't care about sports. And
not
every time I'm.
Oh,
yeah, I guess that's true, but. Every time I'm, like, watching sports, I'm just all like, yay, that guy's about to accomplish something that I don't know. You know, it's like cheering on the accomplishments of others based off of logistical location seems kind of weird. But then again, I guess I have to say I swallow all that when it comes to the Olympics because I enjoy the Olympics. But I view a level of camaraderie with the Olympics that I don't see with competitive sports. What am I talking about? I don't know.
Yeah, so what does that have to do with your radio show?
Why would anybody care what I'm up to? You know, I have a hard time posting on social media. I have a hard time going like, oh, well, this is stuff people are going to care about. I took a walk with my dog and ate avocado toast. You know, it's like I just and you know, there's a lot of people out there. You know, there's going to be a lot of people who are just all like, yeah, those people are stupid. I'm not saying they're stupid. I don't get it. Is all I'm saying. I don't see why anybody would care what I'm up to, because those people who are coming down on people putting up Instagram photos of them walking their dog and getting avocado toast are over here on another social media site posting their opinions about politics and fighting with somebody about the true origin of the Romulans or any sort of asinine thing. And I just have a hard time. Even this, I don't even, are you still watching this video? Are you still listening to this radio station? Why are you here? It's weird. It's weird. Don't you think?
An interesting marketing tactic. I'm digging it.
Yeah, I don't know. If it doesn't have a story.
Confront our viewers on an existential level and demand to know what satisfaction they're getting.
Yes.
We're just freaking Russell Crowe right now. Are you not entertained?
Right. You'd get a lot more entertainment in your life by signing up for the $1,300 watching those horror movies. That's where this is going.
That's fair. Well, The good thing is, even if you don't get it, you can still watch those 13 movies.
That's true, which I might anyway.
Yeah.
All right, you're listening to Radio Wasteland. Tonight we got a guest. I lost my paper. We're about to be surprised. Stick around.
Remodeled kitchen, bathroom, or backyard patio? There's a lot of choices, but only one leader, Estate Granite.
Mike Huber has such a professional attitude and a can-do work ethic that makes him a joy to work with. Mike and his crew worked to have our new kitchen finished in 5 days. We came back to a true work of art.
Hi, this is Brian Filotto, broker and co-owner of the Real Estate Group. In today's competitive market, I think what's important is that the house is dialed in and turnkey. And what's important is that the kitchen has been renovated, the bathrooms have been renovated, granite, beautiful cabinetry. Those things make a significant difference.
Mike at Estate Granite has an eye for detail, an attention to perfection, and a quality build crew that are masters of their craft. Mike was there from start to finish.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard or visit us at EstateGranite.com.
At Shasta Regional Medical Group, we're focused on the health matters that matter to you.
like having a primary care doctor you trust. Our physicians put patients first. They take the time to listen to your needs and concerns, and they provide the information you need to make good decisions about your own health. At Shasta Regional Medical Group, you have an integrated network of caregivers and specialists working to serve you in a compassionate, patient-centered environment. We're conveniently located right across the street from Shasta Regional Medical Center. To make an appointment, call Shasta Regional Medical Group today at 605-4260 or visit us online at ShastaRegionalMedicalGroup.com. Shasta Regional Medical Group. Your primary care is our primary concern.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, I'm Arielle Winter. If you're anything like me, your pets are not only your best friends, they're part of your family. American Humane, which has been rescuing animals like Cleo here for more than 100 years, has life-saving tips that can make a big difference in a disaster. When disaster strikes, you want to protect your whole family, including your pets. To help keep your family safe and help our best friends in their worst times, find tips at AmericanHumane.org.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/radiowasteland.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, and tonight our guest is Lon Strickler. Lon was first on our show a couple of years back, I want to say, and it was all Mothman, and that tends to be the focus of what most of your stuff is about, even though tonight we're going to be talking about some alien experiencers, but we first got to know you via cryptids, winged humanoids specifically, right?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we started that investigation, well, early on in 2011, but in earnest when it started picking up again in 2017.
I was watching some of your stuff today, and winged humanoid and Mothman, are those interchangeable?
Not necessarily. I mean, for what people experienced at Point Pleasant, I think it's... these are ultra-terrestrials, possibly interdimensional beings, but for the most part, they are different.
Are they different in the way that you and I are different? I'm Chauncey and you're Lon, but we're both human.
Possibly, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's more look thing and, you know, personality and the way they act, the way they interact. Yeah, that's probably the biggest difference.
Yeah. And a big part of this show that I was listening to was an incident on July 22nd. I figure we're going to hop right into this because we have a couple of topics to go down. But catch us up on the incident on July 22nd.
Well, July 22nd of this year at O'Hare International, there was there were three individuals who worked at United Cargo. We were leaving work about 10:30, and as they were walking towards their car, they saw this being, winged being, by the fence off the access road right by the tarmac. Mm-hmm. And very similar to what people have been describing for the past several years. Emaciated looking, dark colored, some many times it's red eyes. This had red eyes. The gargoyle or bat wings. And this thing was actually standing along the fence, which many of these sightings have been near the tarmac along the fence. And as they were watching it, the TSA security showed up in several vans, and they had their lights on it, and they got out with their flashlights. They were right up on this thing. And this thing just ascended into the air and started circling about and took off. But this wasn't the only, these weren't the only eyewitnesses. We started getting a whole slew of them then. I mean, we had, cargo workers over at FedEx, which is just right to the east of this other, these other individuals at United. It's an area west on the western side of the west of the terminal. It's very near. Actually, it's very near the traffic tower. But it's an area in the west part of the airport where there's a lot of cargo companies, and there is also a cemetery that has been there for since the beginning of the building of the airport. They left it there. And the interesting thing about this is, and this is something we've been looking into from the very beginning because of the cemetery, is that there has been a lot of activity around there. And when I say activity, I'm talking about strange beings seen walking up and down the road beside the cemetery, a UFO literally hovering above it, and some type of humanoid ascending into it from the cemetery. Plus, we've also had at least six sightings within 100 yards of this place. So it's an active area. It's probably at this time, especially the most active area at the airport. So what had happened with the second group, these were cargo people that were taking cargo off a FedEx plane, and they saw it. They saw this thing, and they made the initial call into TSA. Their supervisor was there with them. He went down to take a look at it. These people, they were scared. They went and huddled up into the aircraft. They didn't know what this thing was. So nobody was taking any photographs or anything. So they hadn't made the initial call. So then as things turned out, there was another individual who contacted us. Was leaving United as well and traveling down the access road to the fence and saw the TSA people there with this being. He jumped out of the car, but unfortunately he was close enough where the TSA people saw him. When he jumped out and pulled out his phone, they let into him. They told him to get the hell out of there. They're going to literally arrest this guy. So he didn't get a picture, which is unfortunate. But plus we have two other witnesses who we're working on now who have come forward. I don't know exactly the situation. I think one of them may be at least somebody from FedEx. So, you know, this incident is a major incident.
Yeah.
This is the biggest sighting out of the whole O'Hara thing that we've had. And, you know, these sightings have been concentrating in O'Hara since October of 2019. So, you know, we got a few of them outside of the city and near the city, but more or less around the Rosemont and the airport itself, there have been most of the sightings that come in there. So, you know, of course, we've been trying to find out what's going on, what this is. Well, fortunately, I got in contact, or I had an individual contact me by the name of Jennifer, who had read my book after I had done an interview. And she read the book, and she made reference to an individual who I've worked with for years named David Eckhart. And she had no idea who he was or anything, but when she read the book, she then discovered that a lot of the things that David had been going through over all these years, and I'm talking about over a decade, are very similar to what she has been experiencing herself. Hmm. So she contacted me. Her and I started conversing day and night. I mean, we were talking on the phone. This started about a month and a half ago. And we actually started working on ways for me to communicate with these beings, just as she has been doing. And over the years, she has developed a way of communicating with these entities, these ultra-terrestrials, who call themselves the Unseen Ones. And what it turns out is these are the beings that are being seen at O'Hare and all around Chicago. You know, you hear about the Chicago Mothman. Well, that's who these are. These are these beings. So she instructed me on how to get in contact, how to communicate with these, at least one of these beings who was designated to me. And I am at a point now where I'm able to get answers to yes and no questions, basically. But she literally has the ability to call it ESP or whatever you want to call it, to psychically connect with the one of these beings. So because of that, we have been giving a bit of information about what has been going on, but we wanted to test it out. So we started our we have a group on Phantoms and Monsters 40 Research. We have a thread on Facebook where we work together, or a messenger Facebook. But these Unseen Ones, knowing this, literally gave us a list of names. We didn't ask for this or anything. Gave us a list of names of the individuals on the team that they were willing to communicate with, as well as myself and Jennifer. So one of those individuals by the name of Manuel Navarrete, and he was on the show last week. We did a show on at Arcane Radio. He went to the location, went to the cemetery. We had him in the cemetery, and Jennifer was told that a being would show up by the name of Uru, and that this being would get in contact with Manuel.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
What a great way to start your day with a 5K at Turtle Bay. The annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk starts at 9:30 a.m. Saturday, October 9th at Turtle Bay and winds along the scenic Sacramento River and across the Sundial Bridge. There will be three different waves of activity. The first is a race wave for those who are competitive, a second wave, a run wave for those who like to run for fun, and a third wave, a walk wave for those who prefer a leisurely stroll. Whether you like to run or walk, sign up today for the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk for only $35 for the run and $25 for the walk at carenet.redding.org. Proceeds will go to CareNet, a nonprofit crisis pregnancy center here in Redding. Once you sign up online, you'll receive a link to create your own fundraising page where you can also draw support from those who are unable to attend. There will be a free pancake breakfast courtesy of the Knights of Columbus following the race for participants. It's a great way to start your day with the annual 5K CareNet Race Run Walk at Turtle Bay, Saturday, October 9th at 9:30 a.m. Sign up online today at carenet.redding.org.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide three delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
I'm Lee Hull.
And I'm Lee Esses.
And we co-host Writing Roots.
It's a 10-minute podcast in which we, an author,
and her editor,
cover lessons we've learned about the writing process.
So whether you're an experienced storyteller or still working on that first book,
now is the time to check us out.
Writing Roots is available on iTunes, Spotify, and anywhere you find your podcasts. And don't forget to always
write selfishly.
Listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us.
So we were told how to have Manuel prepare for this. So he was sitting on a bench and inside the cemetery, and he was instructed to all his equipment that he had with him just lay to the side, don't get any cameras or anything out, anything. Just stand there. I mean, sit there and be quiet and just observe. So he's sitting there. And as he's sitting here, he sees this rabbit. There's a rabbit that's walking around in front of him, which I don't know. I guess there's a lot of rabbits around. I don't know. But anyway, we were told to tell Manuel to put his right hand out, his left hand out. And he did put his left hand out. I know the guy was scared. I'd have been frightened too. But this thing literally touched him on his fingertips. And it was just like little ping pricks on his fingertips. And he sensed this thing around him. And we were told to tell him that there's a stone right down in front of him to pick it up. It's a gift from Guru. And there was a stone right there in front of him. He picked it up and kept it. So as he was sitting there, we were also told to tell him that Uru was behind him, standing behind him on the bench, and to look out in front of him, and the ambient light from one of the cargo docks behind this beam would cast a shadow, the wings, on the ground. And he saw it. He saw the wings unfurl in front of him. So he was pretty shook up.
Things have a sense of the dramatic, certainly.
Yeah, and, you know, yeah, these guys do have a sense of the dramatic, so you're absolutely right. But it's just interesting the way they did it. But so that session ended, and I tried to talk to Manuel. I told him, I said, you know, what's going on? He was quiet. He went back. What happened? He went back to his car, which was right there. Got in his car, sat there for a couple of minutes, and just drove home. And when he got home, he was contemplating what he had actually experienced, wrote it down, thought about it. Then he later contacted us and told us what had happened. I pretty well knew what was going on. Jennifer's a psychic medium. She's intuitive. I'm an intuitive. I was literally sensing much of what was going on as it was going on. And, he confirmed what had happened. And, so I told him, I said, you know, this is all up to you. If you want to disclose this, I'm going to give you the opportunity to do it. If you don't, no problem. No problem. I will not try to force you to do this. This is something on your own, but I wanted everything to come straight from you. So that's what we did Friday night on my show. Another one of the individuals on the team by the name of Tobias was out at the Kettle Moran State Park with him and a group plus his wife. And as they were walking out a couple of days after this happened to Manuel, he had a very profound experience as well. Something was there. He said, we were literally escorted out of the park. This thing was beside, we all sensed it. He said, this thing escorted us out of the park to our cars. And he can't explain it. Now he believes now there was an incident he had when he was living in Madison where he saw these two dark figures, and he explains it in the video. Well, he saw these two dark figures, in Madison at a distance. And when he saw them, he had a sense that these were some of the winged beings that had been showing up, but he wasn't quite sure. And when he told us this after the show, we contacted the one of these beings whose name is Ukiah. And Ukiah, he acknowledged it. And we also had a photograph from David that David Eckhart had taken a couple of years ago, which I posted it up there. It's kind of hard to make out what it is, but the day I saw it, I knew it was something to do with Chicago, though it was taken in Pensacola, Florida. But I instinctively knew it had something to do with this. So we had asked Ukiah weeks before that, how many pictures of these beings are there? And he said one. But we couldn't figure out what it was. He never told us anything. So after I remembered this photograph, and I told Jennifer, I said, Jennifer, ask Ukiah if this photograph is the one he's referring to. And he did. He acknowledged it. So that's where we are right now. We decided to come forth with this. You know, people can believe what they want to believe. You know, I really don't care. You know, I'm just putting out there the information we got. I do believe this is a major breakthrough. I think this is something we're going to be able to work on as time goes by. But I am very positive that these beings that are being seen in Chicago, in around the airport, in the region, are an ultra-terrestrial faction that call themselves the Unseen Ones, and that they live on a dimension that's parallel to our Earth plane.
You know, what I find weird about this is the creatures tend to look, you know, demonic, but they don't seem to be up to no good. They seem almost angelic in their actions. You know, they guided you guys out of the place. You know, the original sighting was foretelling of something bad going on. You know, it's interesting, the juxtaposition of the appearance versus the activity, I think.
Well, you know, the Point Pleasant thing kind of shaded all this from the very beginning. You know, that whole Mothman thing and the fact that Keel put it in at the end of the Mothman prophecies, and, you know, of course, with the Silver Bridge class, 46 people dying, and it has something to do with Mothman. Well, you know, I never bought into that. I never believed that. I think it was just something. This guy was a journalist. I mean, you know, he was trying to tell a story. And, you know, of course, he had the Men in Black stuff and the UFO and a lot of paranormal activity and a lot of weird things were going on at this period of time in 66 and 67. People had seen this being. A lot of people had seen it in an area, but that people were calling the TNT area, but actually it was actually the old West Virginia Ordnance Works where they literally manufactured TNT during the war. I believe, and you know, I've given this theory several times and many times now, and I do believe this is correct because I've been out there. I've done work out there at the area. That this being, this Mothman, as people call it, was a summoned being. And the reason I say I believe it was a summoned being, it was summoned as a sentry or guardian to this very strong indigenous spirit that permeates that whole area out there by the TNT plant. You know, some of the EVPs that we have gotten out of there are just so profound. I mean, and, you know, even the feeling, I mean, I'm intuitive. I go in there, it's like I just can't stand to be around there. It's so strong. You know, the fact that back in the late 60s when this was going on, this was a hangout area, this TNT plant. You had a lot of young adults, kids hanging around there. And I think this thing felt threatened. And I think it literally summoned this thing from wherever. And that's why this thing was showing up. You know, if you remember, this being in Point Pleasant, this Mothman was literally chasing people out of the area.
Right.
It was somewhat aggressive as compared to what we're seeing in Chicago. I mean, that's one thing that, as far as a comparison goes, these beings in Chicago don't show much aggression, if any. And, they are frightening looking. They do stunt, you know, they do kind of startle people. They're very fleeting, very quick in and out. They want to be seen, but they don't hang about. By the time somebody is, you know, over the shock and trying to fumble for a candle, this thing's gone by then. This has happened many times. We've had sightings in areas where there have been several people and only one or two people were able to see it. I think it chooses who they want to see. And I think that was pretty well demonstrated with our group when they asked for certain people in the group to be able to contact them.
You know, last time you were on, this was a question that I asked you. I'm going to ask you again because maybe your view has changed on this. You know, another juxtaposition in these sightings is that half of it seems like sentient, intelligent behavior, and half of it seems like terrified woodland creature behavior.
Well, I think it's more the former now as time is going by.
You think that it's more of a sentient, comparable life form to us?
Well, you know, we may call them aliens, we may call them extraterrestrials. They don't like the name. They'd rather go by ultra-terrestrial or UTs, which they refer to themselves UTs several times. But they really don't have a name for themselves other than the unseen ones. That's the name they have given us to call them, to refer to them, to summon them by. And, you know, I know it sounds fantastical. You know, I'm sure I sound like a complete nut to most people who hear this thing. But it's just, you know, I'm just saying it. I'm just telling it as it is.
KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com. Join Sue McClain weekday mornings from 6 to 7 for the Sue McClain News Hour, where you'll hear the up-to-the-minute local news, national and international news, weather, sports, and a whole lot more. Followed by Free Fire Radio from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. with Carl and Linda Bott. From 9 to noon, be informed and laugh along with Armstrong and Getty, equal opportunity critics. From noon to 3, learn how to get out of debt with Dave Ramsey. From 3 to 6, don't miss constitutional expert Mark Levin. Monday through Thursday night, starting at 6 p.m., we have local shows featuring everything from the paranormal, local history, North State Now, and unsung heroes of our area. From 7 to 9, tune in to Ben Shapiro, your local downtown radio station, KCNR 96.5 FM, AM 1460, and online at kcnr1460.com.
100 years ago, Simpson University began with a promise to be the gateway to world service. 30 years ago, we moved to Reading with a promise to serve the North State, graduating professionals who live and serve our growing community. Today, Simpson University continues to provide a Christ-centered education, graduating students with mature and infectious faith, critical competence, and a ready spirit to thrive as servant leaders around the world and at our backyard. Learn more about Reading's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Spring on over for savings at Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Buy 5 car wash coupons and get one free. Or buy 10 and get 3 free. Quick and Clean is a family-owned business. They offer only the highest quality service. Quick and Clean Car Wash at the corner of Market and Eureka Way next to Dutch Bros in downtown Reading. Quick and Clean.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping in our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homes pets.
Income-eligible renters impacted by COVID-19 can now get 100% of their past due rent and utility bills paid through the California COVID-19 Rent Relief Program. Landlords with tenants who haven't paid rent because of COVID-19 are eligible for 100% reimbursement, too. The application is fast, your information is private, and you won't be asked about citizenship. Apply at housingiskey.com before eviction protections end on September 30th. Brought to you by the California Department of Housing and Community Development.
Hey guys, Dave Ramsey here. Join me and the Ramsey personalities as we give you the tools and motivation you need to win in the areas of money, career, and more right here on The Ramsey Show. Listen weekdays at noon on KCNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM, your talk radio station.
Hi, this is Matt with Liberty Unabashed, a show on every other Sunday, 8 to 9. Are you awake? Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you realize you're in an information war where we're losing our country? It's time to stand up and defend your freedoms, my brothers and sisters. Americans don't care what color you are. Those of the past do.
Tired of listening to people who are angry all the time?
Try listening to Armstrong and Getty from 9 to noon right after Free Fire Radio.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us.
I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't buy into that. The people I work with personally are not conspiracy theorists, but far from that. Many of them are very skeptical. And, you know, they're the kind of folks that want to seek proof of what's going on. And, the fact that this has happened in the past 2 weeks and, that they've come forward and voluntarily have told their story is, you know, It's verification for me.
Yeah, have it's they, always. Sorry, go ahead, Kara.
Well, have they indicated at all, like, what they're doing in Chicago?
No.
Or okay. So it's unclear.
The only thing I was told, now take this any way you want, because they talk in code and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, sure.
But we were told, I was told, Jennifer was told, you will find the truth after 3 years and before 5 years. That's what we were told. Now, there was
at least it's a doable time frame.
Well, you know,
it's not like the Mayan calendar. You're going right. 20,000 years from now, you know,
yeah.
3 to 5 years, we can do that.
I don't know. You know, we did receive a somewhat like a manifesto with certain things that, they told us that we believe were actually true. I'd have to dig it. I don't have it with me right now, but it's on that video. It's on the show video from last Friday. Mm-hmm. But these were statements that we were told by this Ukiah as to how we can identify them and what they are doing currently. But, you know, just like anything else, I think it's going to be baby steps. I am not out to rush anything, you know, and I don't want to do anything drastic to kind of screw this up. But I think it's real. You know, I really do. I think it's absolutely real. So, you know, the best we can do now is just hope the best and see if any more information comes our way. But I think it will. You know, I think the relationship's tight right now.
Well, I want to move on to your book, but I keep getting more questions about this topic. You know, you said that you think that they were summoned, which immediately implied to me like it was stuck here, like it wasn't going back and forth, like it is here.
Well, I don't believe that these beings in Chicago right now were summoned. I think the being that was or beings that were in Point Pleasant were summoned, and I do believe they're stuck here because we get reports out of there at this. I mean, present time. Okay. I have had at least 30 reports of Mothman-like activity in Mason County and up and down the Ohio River over the past maybe 20, 25 years. So, I mean, something's still being seen out there.
Right.
And is it the same being? I don't know. But there's something very similar that's being seen.
Now, it seems highly localized. Do you ever get reports from other places, like out west or even other countries?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We, you know, this is not a phenomenon just for Chicago or other. You know, we've had... at the same time that this was going, started in Chicago in 2017, where we were getting reports in Pasco County, Florida, of several sightings, a very similar type being, like a gargoyle-like being. We have reports down in Texas.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice, Shasta Regional Medical Center.